It's Wine Wednesday. Glenn the Wine Guy joins me for a chin wag. How's it going, Glenn?
Very well, thanks, Jenny. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good, thank you. Yeah. Doing all right.
Excellent.
Before we talk about the spring season and how to correctly store wines, I hear you got a couple of fun wine facts for us this morning.
Or at least mildly amusing. Yes, I was just flipping through some old bits and pieces, and it made me laugh about ingenuity, because during the Prohibition period in America, which was about 1920 to 1933, I think, there were some grape juice concentrate manufacturers that sort of took advantage of the nationwide craving for alcohol, you know, and they started putting warning stickers on their products that said, after you mix the concentrate with water, please do not keep the mix in a barrel for 20 days because it will turn into wine.
Oh, please don't do this.
Yes, that was their way of saying, don't. But if you read it carefully, you thought, I might be onto something. So,
don't do these exact steps from start to finish.
Wasn't that nice of them? Because I thought, that would have saved a lot of hard work, because it takes about a bunch of grapes to make one glass of wine. So if you think about that in rough figures, if you decided to make your own wine one day, you'd need about a ton of grapes to get a good batch going. But if you press that into about 700 or 800 litres, you'd end up with about 1,000 bottles, I think, or about 80 or 90 dozen that you'd have to hide in your house somewhere.
Now, speaking of hiding wine in your house,
mm-hmm.
How do you correctly store wine?
Well, this is a great question, Jenny. There's a lot of people who hide things for love or fun and sharing in the future, and it's probably a good idea, even though you serve wines at different temperatures to get the most flavour out of them. Basically, the best idea is we all agree that to store wines around that 14-degree mark is a good idea. So if you have got something special, 14 degrees and humidity around 65 to 70% is a good thing. But even if you had wine sitting around at about 20 degrees for a year or so, it's not really likely to upset the wine too much. However, it's the big variations of temperatures over time, like if something's sitting next to your oven or, going up and down from 15 to 30 twice a week sort of thing, that will really cause trouble with premature aging and oxidisation, which will affect your aroma and colour and taste. So,
hey, that's a really good point about not having it next to the oven then. I didn't even think of that. I think ours is kind of tucked away under the stairs in a big shelf, but unfortunately don't have a cellar. Do you have any recommendations for people who don't have the luxury of that, beautiful, those conditions that you can get in a cellar?
Yeah, look, the one shortcut, I suppose, is to get yourself a little wine fridge, or even if it was an old little broken bar fridge that holds a couple of dozen with the door shut. That's one way to slow down that temperature variation, which is good. It's out of sight, out of mind too, but it sure leaves things sitting on the mantelpiece above the fire cooking, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. So it's okay to put, red wine in a cool fridge?
Yeah, I think so. You can get those lovely little wine fridges where you can press the button and set the temperature anywhere you like, so around 14 or 15, and have all your favourites hiding in there, which is good.
Hmm.
But that's what got us thinking about, spring and the fact that there's almost warmer weather here, and we don't want to be drinking reds too warm, do we, or even whites too cold, funnily enough.
Oh, right, yeah. So, traditionally people might think, you need to have red wine in winter, cold white wine in summer, but that's not necessarily true.
Correct. And look, meanwhile, at WinePro, we've declared that this week it's pizza and wine month all year, if you want it to be, of course. But in spring, we thought if you're out on the patio and the deck and you've got your picnic blanket on the interstate or wherever you like to entertain, the fact is that for spring, most of us long-term cellaring really means buying something on a Thursday and enjoying it on a Friday night for the weekend. And I thought maybe we could have a little chat about what's a good cheese to put on a cheese plate with your favourite wine in spring and summer, Jenny.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I'm a little bit limited as a lactose intolerant person, but I have discovered in recent years that the hard cheeses, the Parmesans, the Pecorinos, they virtually have no lactose because the little cultures inside of the cheese eat those lactose sugars for the win. I'm loving this, but can't do the brie and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean other people can't indulge. What do you reckon? What's a good combo?
Well, look, here we go. If listeners have got their crayons ready to write down some handy hints, that most sparkling wines are really beautiful when you serve them around 6 degrees. I mean, don't overthink it, but that's about right. And if you have them with soft rind cheeses like Taleggio, they're going to be great fun. If you want something different, enjoy some Prosecco styles with ricotta and strawberries with a bit of honey drizzled on it.
Yum.
For some reason just works, or When I was in the restaurant trade, I knew if you put your sparkling wine in the fridge, you know, a few days to a week ahead of when you enjoy it, for some reason, the beads are finer and the wine is a bit more structured on serving. Mm. So remember that. Don't just bung your bubbles in the day before. Try and have your bubbles in the fridge, you know, a few days ahead. But, most savvy Blancs, Sauvignon Blancs, if you serve them around 8 degrees, try them with Parmesan and prosciutto. So there you go. There's one of those harder cheeses
and a
bit of salt there.
Thank you.
Good fun, yes. Most Riesling, would you believe, in Pinot Grigio, if you serve them at about 7 to 9 degrees. Aged Riesling, you want to serve a bit warm, about 12-ish, but try Riesling with Edam or Havarti, and Pinot Grigio with feta is a beauty. Chardonnays drink well at around 10 degrees with brie cheese and fig jam, but that can work with not just Chardonnay, but Cabernet as well. Interesting, especially if like Grandma, you put a bit of ginger in the fig jam. For some reason, that works really well.
Yum.
And for the rosé fans, if you serve that around 8 to 10 degrees, that with feta and cucumber is a beauty if you're sitting outside enjoying the sunset. Meanwhile, many dessert wines, if you have them around 10 degrees, dessert wines with blue cheese, Jenny, and pistachio nuts. And that also works with Zinfandel. It's really funny. The more you experiment, the more you find these little combinations that are just delicious.
Yum.
Whereas Pinot Noir and all sort of light, mid-weight red wines, if you serve them around 14 degrees, they can go really well with Gruyere cheese or Grenache and goat's cheese, as is another ripper. Or if you're a Shiraz or Cabernet fan, get into aged cheddar with walnuts and apple. That can work. But also Camembert and pecans or Gouda and olives, of course, with Shiraz are also wonderful. But the best thing I've ever found that matches almost every wine I've ever had is mozzarella with olive oil and tomato and basil. It just seems to go with almost anything.
Oh, molto bene. That sounds amazing. Oh, I think people are drooling everywhere.
I know. Remember that other secret too, that if you are doing the outside thing in the warmer months, it's not a sin to put your red wine in your fridge the day before. Just a reminder, you know, begin serving them a bit cooler to start with so it combats the outside heat there. And then rather than having a warm wine at 20 degrees where it sort of knocks out all the fruit flavours, you're better off with it starting cool and then letting it lift up to where you can really enjoy it the most.
That's a fabulous idea. It's starting to get more social, isn't it, Glenn?
It sure is. And look, I think the Coonawarra Cabernet celebrations are going throughout October. There's the Grenache Project tasting up in the Barossa this weekend. And there's the Grenache and Gourmet gig happening, I think, now until the 3rd of October down the Fleurieu way as well.
So beauty.
Plenty of time to go out and try those wine and cheese combos.
Sounds lovely. You have a good one, Glenn. Thanks for joining us.
You too. Thanks, Jenny.